This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show. This is episode 203, and it's Monday, March 4th, 2019. You are rocking out over there, dude. If you're not watching the video version live or otherwise, you're missing Brian doing a real jig.
Right,
it's pretty good.
I love the fact that I'm super blue today with my color, and you're like super
very orange,
like in the orange and red range.
Mm-hmm. Don't ask me, man. I don't know what happened.
What is up with that? I mean, mine is terrible blue, but hey, you have to deal with it.
Well, part of it is our screen that we're on right now for the two of us. It's split. My side is orange in the background, and yours is blue in the background, so it's not helping our case any.
No, it's not.
Hey, I could scan that in. What is that?
Well, no. Yeah, that's a good point. Actually, it's not scratched off. Oh, so what I was doing was I'm using the FaceTime camera built into the Mac, but I noticed what I had walked away. And so I guess what happened was it tried to white balance.
Mm.
This is the whitest thing I could find to put in front of that.
Well, the whitest thing that's right happening right now is me.
Besides myself.
Yeah, besides ourselves. We're pretty white, these two guys here.
We're pretty white guys.
Pretty fly, though, too.
Pretty fly.
Welcome, everybody, to the show. We're thrilled to be here. Happy to be back at it. It's Scott Johnson and Brian Dunaway doing what we do best, and that is talk to each other about the weird little video games we found this weekend that we want to talk to you fine people about. And so we're going to dive right in, and I'm going to start with a game that I've actually known about for a while, but have hesitated talking about on the show. And why isn't the window working? Hold on a second, because it's broken. Okay, go back to Chrome. Thank you, Chrome. All right, the game is called Space Engineers.
What?
Space Engineers. Now, you might go, well, Scott, we're kind of used to you always going with some space game. You know, we get it. You like the space games. And I do. It's not untrue that I like the space games. But this is a little bit different. This was actually put into early access, I want to say, a couple years ago. And I was sent a code for it then. And its main selling point was, hey, you want to do Minecraft in space?
Yeah,
and you want to do it with like cool textures and not 8-bit looking, but like, you know, real
metal looking
stuff. You know what this is, probably.
I know what this is. I wanted to play this game. I never did. I'm glad you have.
Well, it's out of early access now. Finally, this week it launched. It was last Friday, I guess. Came out of early access, is now a full fledged video game and includes a ton of stuff it didn't have when I last played it, which includes landing on planets, doing all sorts of mission type stuff on those planets, building bases on those planets, flying to other planets. It's definitely gone in a more, I mean, I wouldn't exactly compare it to No Man's Sky, but there's something there, a little bit of that in there.
That's probably a good comparison.
Yeah. And that's not a complaint. I think it needed more, because last time I played it, it was mainly just let's build stuff out in space. And there's a survival element to that where, you know, you need to mine the right materials and you got to go find that stuff. And then, you know, all the Minecraft things are there. But when this game started its development, it was definitely a different time. Like, Minecraft was the game of choice for this sort of stuff. And since then, there's been, I don't know, a few dozen games released that are sort of in the same vein. Yeah, a lot, right? Like, way more than I'm sure I'm even saying. So they've had a chance to really polish away on it and dink with it. And it finally came out. And I'm happy to say it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
I mean, here's the deal, Brian. If you're interested in building crap in space in a Minecraft sort of way, then this is still going to do that for you. But you can do all kinds of stuff like build a spaceship, and that spaceship flies and has a pretty good flight model, and you take that spaceship and explore other stuff, and you mine materials from other places, and just a big, expansive sort of building game. And, you know, building your own giant space station that you can hang out with and with your friends is a pretty cool idea because this is also a co-op game.
I was about to say, you can hang out with your friends.
Mm-hmm.
Is it local co-op or is it online?
It is co-op online as well? Co-op, yes. It is, well, I assume you could do some sort of LAN thing, but maybe that's also IP-based. I don't know. But it's, you know, in a world filled with games like this, I think it stands out a little bit. I think it's a little bit more than you might expect.
It looks a lot more serious than a lot of games. It looks like if there's any dialogue, it would be very serious and straight and dry.
I mean, so far I haven't had any dialogue, so I can't really answer to that exactly, but I haven't gotten that far.
Just a lot of heavy breathing.
A lot of heavy breathing. Nick and his friend have been playing it. Hey, Nick. Yeah. Have you and your friend been playing, Space Engineers? Yeah. Thumbs up. You're an old Minecraft player. You like it or no? A lot?
Yeah, it's a little complicated.
It's a little complicated, he says.
This is my favorite. Now, if you could make sure that Nick is here for every show, we'll have a new segment called Hey Nick, where we talk about a game for like 5 minutes, and we go, Hey Nick!
Well, I played it a bunch, but then I haven't had a chance to really dig deep, and I knew that they stayed up to like 3:30 to do it. So they've had some like experience with the game well beyond anything I've seen. And he says he likes it. The only caveat would be it's a little complicated. And I think it's probably just due to so many items, so many ingredients, so many little pieces and parts.
But it's a sandbox game, really. I mean, because there's not like a lot of competitive. It's more like creative, right?
Yeah, it's very creative. It's also there's survival and there's creative. The survival way to play the game is, you know, you do need to build air compressors and oxygen tanks and. You got to keep yourself alive, and if you're not good, you're going to die. They definitely have that
mode. What if you don't have a green thumb and you can't grow potatoes on Mars?
The way I do it, like I do all these games, here's my big admission. I play creative mode only. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all I want. I do that with, I did it with Minecraft. I do it with the water. Right. What's the water one that we've all been playing?
Subnautica.
Subnautica. I've been playing that way.
On Epic Games.
And I'm sure people are making fun of me right now going, Scott, you big weenie, why don't you play it the way it's supposed to be played? And my answer to that would be, F you. I'm going to play it the way I want to play it. And I find these games really, I find them very tedious unless I can just be creative. And I really like being creative. So
this is a Czech Republic developer, Keen Software House, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like this. You can pick this up on just Windows through Steam.
It is available via Steam. I don't know what possibly other places, but Steam for sure.
Yeah.
Through its early access period there and has continued to do pretty well over there, and it's well reviewed. One of the things that they say in the reviews, more recent ones, they talk about how attentive this particular developer has been about changes or tweaks or ideas from the community, and that's always a good sign. They've been consistently working on it. No big periods of blackout where you don't hear anything like sometimes happens with a game like this. So they seem to be on top of it. I hope they have a good, successful launch. It was in the top 10 yesterday. I don't know if it's there now, but definitely.
Well, they should be. Yeah, Space Engineers. It's on Steam right now for 20% off for $15.99.
Yeah, it's cheap. It's cheap, cheap.
I mean, it's cheap, 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 cheap. It's almost as small as Easter. It's like cheap, cheap. Cheap, it's a perfect Easter gift for someone, right? Cheap, cheap.
Cheap, cheap. Easter bunny.
What else do these guys do, though? Keen Software House. I mean, have they just been busy with this for the last year? Like, you know, is this the only thing they've done since 2013?
Really busy. I think you can probably click on their name and see if they've done more, but I think this is kind of the max.
Medieval Engineers. They started that, I guess, a couple of years after Space Engineers started. Then they had Minor Wars. That was like, I guess it's like a hot second before the other.
Yeah, Minor Wars is all about kids 18 and younger fighting it out in a tug of war. Yeah. No.
It looks like maybe a first person shooter kind of thing.
Mm. Huh. Interesting. Well, they seem to know their stuff, and it's impressive, and I like what they've done here. So, going to give it a thumbs up. It's not really my kind of game, I'll be honest. I don't like survival games or that mode anyway, but I do like creative games, and these games often provide that. If I had any complaint about the one I talked about a couple weeks ago, brand new also out of early access, and my brain just went dead. What's it called? Astroneer. I like Astroneer a lot, except it doesn't have a creative mode. There's a hack on ModDB or something that'll let me tweak a bunch of any files and, you know, go nuts with it. But I don't feel like doing that. Just give me a creative mode where I can go do stuff and not worry about dying every 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's really the way of it, right?
Yeah.
For us casual modders, we're like, just give it to us in easy ways. Right. I'm also interested in seeing this. I'm always interested in what game engine people are using, and they have a proprietary. I couldn't say it. Called V-Rage or Vrage. It's a game engine. So I guess there's a little thing there.
Doesn't surprise me.
Did it feel like?
Well, yes, but also it doesn't surprise me because, as far as I know, there's nothing built into Unreal or Unity or CryEngine or any of the popular engines. There's nothing built into those to be fully destructible, constructible worlds. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you've got to go so custom that you may as well just do your own to come up with, you know, this ability to... Because here's the funny thing about it, and this may put some people off. But it's a game set in space where it looks really good. But when you get up close, you realize, oh, these are just, everything's a cube. Kind of like Minecraft, which is why Minecraft was the way it was. But everything's kind of a cube. They're kind of equal sized. Not everything. There's some parts that aren't. I shouldn't say everything. But a lot of the big construction stuff, it's like giant cube, connect another giant cube. And the cubes can be parts like these are tubes inside of your, you know, hallways for your space station. And so they connect together and create a longer hallway. But you're still putting down these equidistant cubes. And so I think that alone requires a lot of customization to an engine that you would otherwise not use in this way. Like, I can't see Unreal having some built-in tools that are just like, hey, turning everything into cubes and have it all react the way you need it to and be destructible and constructible anytime you want. Like, that sounds like it's hard. So, anyway, it's cool.
Is that a term, though, destructible and constructible? Because I'm...
Well, if something's constructible, you construct it. If it's destructible,
I like that you married the two.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. I think they're both words, right? Construct, destruct.
They're both words. I just like that you put them in that...
Well, now you're making me question everything I thought was real. I'm pretty sure...
Space engineers. I like it. $15.99. I'm going to have to pick that one up.
Yeah, it's a cheap entry level piece of business there. There's no reason why you can't find some love there. All right. Let's talk, if you don't mind, about your first game, which says here is called Sundered. Tell me all about it.
Sundered
or Sundered? I think it's Sundered.
That's what I thought. 'Cause at first, when I saw it, I said, oh, it's Sundered or Sundered. But it is Sund, S-U-N-D-E-R-E-D. And it's for the PC. And Arsenic96 sent me a copy of this through Steam. He says, or she says, thought you and Scott would find this game pretty cool. The art style is awesome.
Look at
it. I did.
Yeah, sorry.
Right, a hand-drawn Metroidvania game. Looks great, and look at the skill tree. Well, that was me. Oh, I said the last part. But yeah, look at this game. It is absolutely gorgeous. You can really tell that they really did put the old 2D hand-drawn effects into it. The place where it shines the most is in the animation, how these characters move.
Yeah.
They're very fluid. It reminds me of that old game I used to play on the Mac, 2E, I believe it was. Oh, it was like Katana or something like that. What was that? It was I can't remember the name of it. Anywho, this game is very fluid. The art style is very fluid. The animation is very fluid. And so I didn't notice this at first, but when my character is swinging around with his or hers beautiful movement of fighting style to destroy aliens. We'll talk about the aliens too. I'm hoping you show them the video for this stuff, because the aliens are kind of wild. They're not really aliens either. That's not really what they really are either. More like demons, I think. Anyway,
it's a little more fantasy. Looks fantasy based, but also fantasy kind of Star Wars-y in a way.
Exactly. Yeah. And so the battle motions that you're doing in this game are very fluid. I mean, you're using your arms, and I thought he was just using his arms at first, but then I realized the character is also using the legs and is sweeping below some of the platform, because this is a Metroidvania, and it's a bit of a platformer as well. So it's very side scrolly.
Sure. It looks nice.
Right.
Looks real nice.
It looks absolutely, that is the most important part of this game, is the visual atmosphere. It gives you such a feeling. The music, it crescendos at the right time, and it just moves you along emotionally. This is one of those games that I like to say it put art first and then gameplay second. Mm. And the gameplay is fun. It's a little repetitive in parts, but that's okay, because you'll end up fighting these different creatures. I haven't gotten completely into the story yet. I don't quite understand everything about what the ancient Eldritch powers are. I haven't gotten that deep into the story yet. I've played this maybe three hours or so, and it is there's a little bit of a grind to it. It's about $20 right now, I think, on Steam.
What do you think? The gameplay wise, would you say it's like a pure Metroidvania in the way it plays, or is there some like roguelike elements here? Like, what would you say?
Metroidvania, where you just kind of go straight through, and you the biggest thing, you don't really collect objects or items. What you're collecting as you go along is these like energy things. It's like this energy, force of energy that's out there that you collect as you destroy the baddies. And you keep collecting those. And I didn't know what they were for, because at first I picked a medium level to play. I didn't play super hard or anything. Mm-hmm. And I was like, am I ever going to die? Because I'm pretty tough and I'm beating all these guys, and I keep collecting all these little, energy dots. And I'm like, I have no clue what I'm supposed to be doing these things. I'm like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with these. I got like 2000 energy dots and I don't know what I'm supposed to do with them. And then I died and I found out, oh, it's one of those games.
You collect
the resource, and then when you die, you can upgrade your skills tree.
So it is a roguelike. Skills tree. Still totally
it is roguelike in that part.
Oh, right. I'm a fan of the genre, so I'm already more excited than I was before. This is great.
Exactly. And man, the skill tree is outrageous. It is one of the biggest skill trees I've seen in a game recently. And it's just little, you just have little improvements along the way, and such a management there.
Exquisite, you might say.
Exquisite. It is tasty, but it's this is developer is Thunder Lotus Games.
Yeah.
Canadian, I believe.
Yeah, love the Canadians.
If I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I love the Canadians. I love these guys. Yeah. And they also listed, I was trying to see what other games they have done, because, by the way, this game is available just about anywhere. PC, PlayStation, it's on the Wii. I think it's on the Wii as well. It's on my Wii right now. Get off.
The Wii.
It's got the Mac Oaks. That's the one thing I want to talk about.
It can't be on the Wii. Nobody makes Wii games anymore. You mean the Switch?
Switch is what I meant.
This is the Wii, dude.
That is the Wii.
That's fine.
So, yeah, it'll always be the Wii to me. All right. So, they have versions for the Linux operating system as well as the Mac OS. And that was one of the reasons why I went with this game, is because I had an older Mac that I had picked up, and I was trying to see if I could get it to run games. And it runs this game perfectly. It's IMAX, only like a 2011 late or something, and it had no trouble.
Oh, that's good.
Pumping this game out at all.
It
this came out in 2017.
Yeah, I was going to say, it looks really, modern and pretty, but it's nice to hear that you don't have to have, the hottest rig to play it. That's good.
No, you do not. You can just jump right in.
You playing with a controller or keyboard and mouse?
There is an option to play co-op, and so I'm glad you asked that, because you can play one person can play on the keyboard and one person can play on the mouse, and
that
then
sounds
one
like a
person
nightmare. Total nightmare. I hate that.
Total nightmare. Total nightmare. Yeah. I have controllers.
Okay, good.
I'm not a hobo. I'm not a hobo gamer. I have, I have controllers.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. I played with the controller because it's very simple movements. I think I'm only using like maybe 3 or 4 buttons. I mean, it's very simple. That's what kind of makes it feel repetitive. Yeah. And the story sometimes doesn't come into play fast enough. There's lots of times where I'm just kind of grinding through, killing a bunch of hordes of bad guys, and I just want to move on.
Yeah.
And But otherwise, it's fun. I'm having a blast with it. It's just beautiful.
Yeah, it looks really neat. I'm a little mesmerized.
Have I mentioned the name Sundr? I'm not mentioning the name because I can't say it. It's Sundered.
Sundered. If we Sundered. Are indeed correct about that pronunciation, I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Because Sundr, it could be like beloved. Nobody says. Oh no, they do say beloved. What would you say? What would it be like? My. Can't think of another word. Sundered. Sundered. How do you spell Sundered? Chat room. They'll figure
Sundered.
It out.
How do you spell it? Hey, Nick. Nick,
how do you spell sundered? Sundered. Yeah, like something's been sundered. How do you spell it? Yeah.
I have no idea. I'm clueless right now, Father. You have put me on the spot.
Neither are we. We don't know.
This was like spelling bee in the fifth grade, Father. This is terrible.
Yeah, it's kind of bad.
Use of the sentence.
Yeah.
But I want to thank Arsenic96 on Steam for sending that. And the way it was worded, I was curious if you also got a copy of this.
Yeah, there's two codes in there. I need to find out which one you used. I used the right one, unless you didn't use them both, did you?
Oh, well, yeah. I used one here, and then I was like, you know what? I think I'm putting this in my second account.
assuming the second code's there still, I'm going to load this up and give it a go.
Give it a go.
Well, look at me here, turning back to the year 2015. It wasn't just the year of one of the greatest films ever made, that being Mad Max Fury Road, but it was also one of the years of the greatest games ever made, that being The Witcher Hunt 3. Or The Witcher Wild Hunt.
Yeah.
Sorry, The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt. Jeez, Scott. Now, you're saying to yourself, Scott, this isn't a small game, and nor is it new. And you'd absolutely be right. But I wanted to let people know where I've been spending my time. For some reason, I got a wild hair all up my bum about playing through The Witcher, finishing some stuff I never did, and also just seeing some side content I never tried. So I got in again, and I feel like we may never get a game quite as awesome as this again. And I know it's not for everybody. There are some people out there that just never could get into The Witcher, and I get it. It's a big, sprawling, open world. So much to do, it's overwhelming. There's so much to do. But there's also a pretty quick way to sort of just go story and not really pay attention to anything else if you really don't want to. But there's like 200 hours worth of content here. It's an enormous video game. And I still say, of all the RPGs I've ever played, it's probably the best one I've ever played. And I've played a lot of RPGs, and I like a lot of them.
Confession time, Scott. Confession time.
They're all up there. I'll confess.
Right? I've never played a single Witcher game.
Oh, gosh. Brian, we should rectify that.
We should totally rectify that. But yeah, I've almost pulled the trigger. It goes on sale all the time, and I'm always thinking about getting it. Never do.
We should get you.
This isn't playing for them, is it?
10 out of 10 rating on Steam.
Well, yeah.
9.3 on other places. Metacritic gives it a 92%. And for some reason, been out since May 19, 2015. That's my youngest son's birthday, by the way.
Yeah.
And it wasn't born that day, but that's his birthday. But I never played. Never. Not even once.
Name a cooler RPG, and then I'll argue with you. Not you, but whoever. Like, for example, I'm a huge fan of, I forgot the name of it. Third one just came out, and it's really good.
You know, I lied.
Anyway, what?
I did play like Gwent for like half a second.
Oh, well, Gwent doesn't count. Really. Gwent
doesn't really count.
I mean, Gwent's fine. For
it's in the world.
For what Gwent is, it's fine. It's not interesting to me. I don't like, I'm not big on CCGs, so it's not really my jam, but the extent to which this game details itself and creates this immersive world of story and character is pretty unrivaled. And so I'm back playing The Witcher, and it's great, and it doesn't feel like it was made 4 years ago. It feels like it just came out. It looks great. The DLC is amazing. I have a friend, well, she's a mutual friend, you know, Corinne Lewis, who helped us do
awesome.
All that stuff. She's a video game narrative teacher, a professor at the University of Utah. So she actually knows as much as you're going to know about teaching the concept of good narrative stuff in video games. And she says that the Blood and Wine expansion DLC for this game, she thinks it's the best video game story she's ever experienced.
Interesting.
In the history of video games. Which is a pretty high praise. Now, someone may be hearing that and going, whatever, dude, that's not as good. I realize these are all just opinions, but I'm just here to tell you, it's a special freaking thing. And until their cyberpunk freaking 2077 or whatever comes out from the same developer, it's just good to be back home in the world of Geralt of Rivia and doing rad stuff in that world. So
right,
and I'm excited about the Netflix show. I should mention that. I'm looking forward.
Oh yes, it actually does look good. CD
Projekt Red. Yep, that's them.
Yeah, and I, you know, you had said, well, they're kind of a bigger deal, but they've grown over time. They were an indie at some point in time.
Oh yeah, they did small stuff back in the day, but they also own good old games. GOG.com is theirs. Yep. Oh, there's a nudie scene. I should probably not show the chat room this.
Let's just get right past on that.
Yeah,
but come on, isn't good old games like a great place for getting all those games that, you know, they feel independent? They're not, but you know, they could feel.
I mean, they've grown exponentially.
Yeah.
And these are huge, multi-million dollar, many hundred people studio games now. Like, The Witcher's not made by four guys anymore.
No.
The Witcher 3 is a huge production. Cyberpunk looks as or more complicated than this ever could be. Probably my most anticipated game is that game. And this is, right. It's nice to be back in here and having this tide me over. So,
Witcher 3.
I like The Witcher, and I'm playing The Witcher. Brian, tell me about Typo Man on mobile.
No, I have Typo Man on mobile.
Mm-hmm.
What? So reach over there and ask Nick if he knows how to spell Typo Man.
He knows how.
So he knows how to spell that.
Yeah, I would hope
okay,
so
this is I picked this up on the iPhone. It was a couple of bucks. It's like $2. I had seen it before on the I believe on the PlayStation store before, and it was like $20. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to. This game looks a little too simplified.
It's like a little
PS4,
like
but it looks great for a mobile game.
$10, $15 game is what it looks like. Sure.
Yes, I got $20 game on PlayStation the last time I looked. Could have changed since then, but this is like $2 on the store. So it's a puzzle platformer, and you start out as an O. That's right, an O. Mm-hmm. And you just kind of roll along on your little platformer screen there, and it's really dark. The screen is kind of like one of those, you know, one of those really dark where you got like the foreground things. They're just silhouettes, mm-hmm. and everything is kind of, you know, smoky and cloudy and stuff. And the music's okay, but the Typo Man, you're rolling along. You're like, what am I supposed to do here? I can't really do much of anything. I'm just rolling along. Mm. And then all of a sudden you come up and you find an E, and you bounce on top of that E, and suddenly you have a torso. And so then you kind of go along a little further, and you get an H, and now you got some feet to run with. You can't grab any ropes or anything because you have no arms yet, but you are a stick man of sorts. And then you find some more letters, and then the next thing you know, you've got a full body Typo Man, and he's running along, and he runs across puzzles that are letters, and lots of times they involve rearranging the letters into words so you can progress in the story. All the while you're being chased by these spider looking things that are they look like letters of some sort, but they don't quite form letters. They're just letter shaped.
So do you have to put words together to solve puzzles? Like
sometimes. So there's a little bit. It's an action platformer as well because there's a little bit of running and jumping and trying to kill the enemy. But yes, lots of times you'll get into a situation where you've been chased and into a small cavern somewhere, and you'll have to rearrange some letters there in order to open a gate.
It looks like Limbo. Doesn't it? A little bit
yeah,
of Limbo.
It's got a kind of visual style like those Limbo games. It's kind of dark with those silhouettes in the foreground, mm-hmm. and you know, the background is also silhouettes, but in the mid ground is your character and some good looking art usually. It's an okay looking game. I like it. It's pretty good. But as you go along, you're also being protected by a entity that is a floating entity and kind of keeps backing up the bad guys. And you're revealing a story as you go along, too. You find these little quotation marks. And when you find the quotation marks, they're usually like somewhere out of the way. And it's slowly evolving a story about who I am, what's going on. And I'm having a good time.
What letters is he made up of? Like, I'm looking at him. He's like a few letters himself.
Like, I think his head is an O and his body is an E, and then his legs are an H. And I think his arm may be a music note or something. I couldn't quite place that part. It's not like hardcore, you know, it's typography, whereas, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, where you know, it's like really clear or anything. They're kind of loose and they're bouncy. And they're fun. But hey, what am I going to do?
Hey, those spiders look like the word doom. Oh, it is.
They do. They might be doom. I couldn't quite make it out, but I knew they were shaped like
there's
some
like
kind
a
of
D.
Shape.
There's a B. Well, it's backwards right now, but there's a D O O, and then the body, the legs make a big M.
Do. His name is Do.
And he and it said in a little help thing, it says these creatures are doom or something. And
right. So you might come up, and some of the more fun things for me to do is when you get into a word jumble area. So let's say you have a gate that you need to open up. You may need to spell. Usually it's a verb word. And so you will come across some letters, and they're all kind of scrambled up, and you'll jump on the letters, and you can choose to bring up a little screen, and the words will be jumbled, and you kind of move them around until you spell the words you want. You can kind of throw some out of the way. And then when you figure out the word, you submit it, and then hopefully the letters will glow, and you'll be able to get to the next
this
area.
But very... Typo
Man, it's a good way. It's a good time waster with a little bit of action, a little bit of platforming, and a little bit of puzzle solving. So
it's very, very Limbo, but that's not a bad thing. Yes. I like Limbo a lot.
No, it's not. Yeah. It's not.
I would play that.
And this is these guys. This is the first game I've played by these guys. This is UB Joy. And I don't know if they do much of anything. I'm going to say that. And there are people like, oh, yeah, Brian, they play the Law of Creation and Noah Fantasy. Everybody knows that. Very
never heard of it.
Anime looking.
Yeah.
Neither.
Yeah.
But I do like this.
That's cool.
UB Joy.
It's educational, and that's what matters.
I don't know about being educational, but it's certainly fun.
Well, good. That? Tell me about you had a quick mention here of a Humble Bundle thing you noticed. What's going on with
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. I belong to the Humble Bundle monthly. Yeah. And the one that just came out had Vermintide 2 in it.
Oh.
I haven't had a chance to play that. $12, by the way, for the monthly subscription for this.
It's cheap.
The April bundle is awesome. Mm-hmm. Now you heard me talk recently about Mutant Year Zero. Mm-hmm. Played that on the Xbox Game Pass. That's going to be in there. Northgard is in there. Great game. And Absolver, which I talked about late last year on the PS4. I think the PS4 Plus. So if you're a PC gamer, the Humble Bundle coming up this next month, you can buy it now. If you get this right now, then you can unlock those three games. And then later on, you'll have usually four or five more games after that. So I'm enjoying it.
Here's the stinky poopy of this for me.
Oh, no. Stinky poopy.
I have Northgard and Absolver. This is one of the problems with the Humble Bundle is a lot of times I've got the stuff they put in these bundles, but I don't have Mutant Year Zero. That alone is probably worth $12.
Oh, totally worth $12.
But I don't want to go sign up for a thing and then cancel it immediately. You know what I mean? Like it feels.
Oh, yeah.
That feels like bad.
Oh, man. I'm telling you, man, that is probably the best $12 I spend every month is that Humble Bundle. It some months are a little bit lighter and I'll be like, that wasn't the greatest deal. But then I go, it was only $12, Brian.
Yeah.
And I can give those games away too. Cause you get codes. You don't have to instantly lock them in. You can gift them. And we do that all the time. People send in codes. Bombast does that all the time. He'll get the bundles and he'll send us in codes. And that's how we give those away on the show.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. I like it.
Additionally,
go check it out. It's the Humble Bundle. It's available now. Or it will be in April, I should say.
Yeah, well, it's available now if you buy it.
Well,
you can buy it now. The bad thing is, once a bundle has already been distributed, like the March bundle, you can't get that. You'd have to have gotten it before now.
But so if you're the subscriber, bundle, if you subscribe, you can go. Can you go back in perpetuity? Or you still only have a limited time to get them, right?
No, it's according to the game and the license for the distributor. Usually, I'll register them immediately if it's something I'm going to keep.
Yeah, if you register the codes, then they're yours.
Yeah, and usually those codes are usually good for years, most of the time.
A lot of times people send them to us and say, here, give these away on the show.
Yeah, do it all the time. Yeah. Love it.
All right. Well, there's that. Now here's this.
It's a me, Mario!
Time to decide if we can guess what each other's weird game audio is. I went with something not that old this time. So, Brian, if you're going to guess my game, you're going to want to look at a little more recent history, okay?
All right.
Here it is. I'm going to play all of it. It has some voice and some music. Both of these things would be giveaways if I heard it, but you may not have heard of it, so here you go.
John inhaled the air of the open space, and it smelled of awesome. Time to flex those muscles, to put his training to use, time to show those little dots how it was done.
All right. And you guys listen.
Crap. This sounds super familiar.
We have one person in the chat who knows it.
It sounds like the voice work from Little Big Planet, but I know it's not.
All those British guys sound the same. Well, I can tell if it helps you, it is definitely not Little Big Planet.
No, well, I figured not. This is an indie game, right?
Yes. A pretty small indie game, yeah. But it pretty is one of the most delightful, wonderful games I have ever played in my life. And I would recommend it highly to anyone who is looking for something different. It's really good.
Kind of reminds me of, I'm seeing Samorost in my head.
Oh.
Samorost? Is that how you say it?
You're in the, well, no, but you're in the right indie department. Like, right. It's on the same floor, but it may not be in the same area of the store.
Yeah, I don't know. It is so familiar. I have definitely played this game.
Well,
I just can't place it.
I'll tell you what it is. It's Thomas Was Alone.
Ah, Thomas Was Alone.
Yeah.
Makes sense because he said Tom at the good thing.
He did.
I'm such a moron.
A fantastic video game. I'm going to give some credit to Isidore in the chat room. We got it right. Said Thomas. He meant.
All right.
He didn't finish the whole thing. But Thomas Was Alone is this amazing little game. Still available pretty much on every platform. I played it through once on PC and then again on the Vita, of all places. I guess that technically means I have it on the PS4 still as well. But I really, really like it. And what's great about this game is the series of levels and sort of puzzles you have to work through and all this narration. It's all centered around some like three basic shapes. A little square, I forgot his name, Thomas, which is like this kind of rectangular shape. There's another little guy who's a dot. You run into other characters as you go, but they're very two-dimensional, this is the most basic as you can get shapes. Like, remember, you know, in the old Atari days, Atari 2600 days, the basketball in the basketball game was a freaking square, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's basically what you're playing with. Your characters are just little squares and little geometric shapes, and it's genius how it deals with that stuff. It's still very pretty. It's a very nice, beautiful game, stylized and stuff, but at the end of the day, you're just moving these shapes around. But the story and the narration as it plays out through the whole thing is just utterly wonderful and has some real sad moments and some real happy moments. The game made my daughter cry, which honestly isn't that hard because she gets real emotional.
It's really amazing what you can do with a little story, because we're not talking about a very intricate visual elements that you had to come up with. This was built in Unity.
Yeah.
But cool. Man, I mean, you could just have a great idea and a great story and emotionally touch people with some squares.
Yeah, it would have been
and also
it
great have, voice.
Work. It would have been a lesser game, in my opinion, if they'd have tried to render out everything in full character stuff. It wouldn't have been as good. Like, there's something about the simplicity of it that just is remarkable. I really like it, and people should. If you've never played Thomas Was Alone, you should play it. All right, Brian, I'll play your clip. See if I can figure it out.
Do it.
I have no idea what this is. Ooh.
This is old, man. Like 1992 old.
92. Okay, that helps.
You could play this on the DOS
These
or Amiga.
Have given me a mean headache.
What? Hold on, I gotta hear that again.
These nightmares have given me a mean headache.
Nightmares are giving me a mean headache. Okay, wait, there's more.
That was him peeing.
Okay. Was it really? I hear he's talking to
me. My head feels like it's going to explode.
Is this Seventh Guest or something?
That's not too far. It's kind of that kind of... it's kind of like that. It's in that vein of that.
Oh, my gosh. 92.
You could have gotten this on anything. PlayStation, Microsoft, Amiga, Sega Saturn, the Macintosh operating system.
Well, not 92 you couldn't, or unless they carried it forward. Oh, then I know what it is. Alone in the Dark.
Oh, very is Darkseed.
Is that it? What'd you call
no,
it?
No, it's Darkseed.
Oh, Darkseed. Never heard of Darkseed.
Never heard of Darkseed?
No.
Darkseed. You'll probably recognize it once you see it. It's that Geiger artwork. It's based on all of his work.
Right. Okay. Now, whoops. Turn that down. Now I'm seeing something I'm familiar with.
You want to talk about some weird dialogue and some weird, CD-ROM-ish looking video people over top of some weird looking Geiger art? Then Darkseed, it's for you.
All right. This is interesting. Here, chat. We'll show you the little video I found. I don't know if this is, let's see, we'll just skip ahead, Darkseed. Yeah, 92, you're right about the year. Oh, look at that guy's face. Science fiction adventure game based on fantastic artwork of somebody who that skipped by really fast. Oh, look at this. Yeah, it's point and click adventure with like digitized, digicapture, Mortal Kombat style.
Yeah, and it cracks me up because your main protagonist there, he reminds me like Jeff Foxworthy in like a... some kind of it's wild.
Wow. Oh, well, look at that. It splits into four and then you do stuff. Oh, this is fascinating. Oh, yeah, look at that Geiger stuff. Ooh. Mm-hmm. He has some weird art, dude.
Oh, so weird. I remember back in the day playing with this on the PC, and I couldn't get into it, but it just wasn't the time for me to play this.
Yeah.
It wasn't the time.
I feel like it would, it suffers from its time. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
this would look a lot cooler now.
It does look cooler. I actually think it looks, now that I'm going back and looking at it again, I was like blown away. I was like, wow, I don't remember this being like this.
Yeah. That's crazy. Darkseid. Chat rooms, a lot of them know what it is. They're like, oh, Darkseid's fun, they say. It says, Ixoren. Ixoren.
Ixoren.
Or Ixorn could be registered nurse. Ixo registered nurse. Nice.
Registered nurse.
Well, I'd never heard of it, but that doesn't matter because we have this now. Time for us to talk about a quick news story. Actually, this is not that big a deal, or not that shocking. Let's put it that way. Apex Legends topped 50 million players in its first month, and that is the fastest these games have ever done. That includes the game Fortnite, which took a lot longer to hit that number.
Yeah, Fortnite kind of had a slow start, but once it hit, it rolled.
Yeah,
last summer, man, woo.
Because at the time, you know, Battlegrounds was like your thing. And everybody was playing it and was going like crazy. And then suddenly Fortnite changes their model and says, hey, we're going to pivot and have this mode in here. And then people sort of checked it out. But then it was like this ramp. And then the ramp exploded. And then they were huge. Respawn comes in on the tails of all of that and releases Apex Legends, which just freaks out and goes nuts. And now we're at 50 million players. And we're only the first month in. Has it been a month, though? That's nuts. Let me think about that.
That is nuts. It's like I've been playing it forever.
That can't be right. Wow. Anyway, Fortnite's free battle royale mode, rather, took several months.
Battle morale.
Morale.
You got to make moral decisions.
It says it took them.
Should I shoot?
It took them 3.5, almost 4 months to reach 45 million. But other factors have sort of pushed it well beyond that. And in the case of Apex, I mean, you could argue that Apex Legends isn't as big as it would be had it not come on the tails of the success of Fortnite. People were ready to try a new thing, and
that's what I feel like too. Because there was so many of us that are, you know, I'm of a certain age.
And, you're an old man, Brian. An old man.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, the kid, like, I knew it was going to be huge because last summer when the kids got out for summer break and just everybody, all the kids were playing it. It was just like, what you got to do? It's free. You know, it's in all your consoles. It's just everywhere, and you can play the crap out of it. And I could, you know, I would get in there and I just get wasted. Just get absolutely wasted. And I'm like, I need a game where I can get in there and make some strategies. I don't want to fall in and just get killed immediately. Because that's what's happening in Fortnite for me.
Well, Apex is, I still kind of get my butt handed to me, but not right away. It takes a little while sometimes.
Me too.
Which is good. That game's great. But anyway, there you go. They got a big content drop coming up in a week or something. So keep your eyes on that, son.
I'm down with it. It's just a fun game. I'm still playing it a pretty good bit, but I'm on the PS4 most times when I'm playing. You on the PC.
Oh, yeah, PC all the way with this game. Are you kidding me?
What are you? No, the PS4 all the way.
You some kind of lesser being? Is that
what
you are?
What are you talking about? I projected on my projector at 110-inch screen and lay in my bed with my controller and shoot people.
It's pretty good.
How can you beat that?
You can't. Let's try to beat it with an email or a voicemail, actually. We got this sent to us at 801-471-0462. You can use that number as well. Leave us a voicemail for the Boop Show. We'll play it right here like this. Check it out.
Hey, Scott. This is Wes. I was listening to last week's episode with you and Brian, and I was thinking about when you said you used to play sports games on your Genesis, which reminded me of the sports games I played on my best friend's Genesis. And one of the things that we loved was putting in cheat codes to try to hunt down special teams and special actions you could do. And it just made me think how much I missed doing that in games. It was like having a whole extra game to play in addition to the game you had. And I don't know. I just thought it would be an interesting topic to discuss. Anyway, love the show. See you later.
All right. So I would recommend, if you're a Steam user now, there's something called the Steam Cheat Engine. Hold on.
I did not know about this. I did back in the day love the cheats. That was...
Do you have a game genie?
Whole game in itself.
Do you have a game genie or any of that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I did for a while. I had a game genie. That was so great. Get the game genie code books and you flip through that puppy and you type in your. Oh, man. I miss those days. Those were fun.
Now, I'm not going to tell you for sure that you're not going to get banned for using this. The talk is that you won't. But people can go in and just do all the achievements by cheating, or they can do some weird stuff in a game and have a game go do something crazy. Like, this is all possible with the Steam cheat engine. But I have heard talk that some people sometimes get kicked off the platform as a result. And those are almost always cases where they're doing something specific in like a competitive game, using an aimbot in Counter-Strike or some other cheat in Team Fortress, whatever.
I don't like cheating when it's online playing against other people. Yeah, I like cheating.
You're gonna just be
at
your,
home
you're just being creative and having solo fun. Play. Sure. Absolutely. And that's something you can do with this. So again, this is not an endorsement. I'm just letting you know it's out there. But long gone are the days. Except there are still, you know, put in codes and something will happen kind of experiences in certain games, especially on consoles. Mm-hmm. That hasn't gone away completely. However, like the Game Genie approach just doesn't, it's not a thing anymore. We don't do that.
No, it's not really. No. I'll tell you, one of my favorite cheats of all time has to be the Age of Empires cheats. Mm. I don't know if you ever did any of those, but you could like,
they were great.
You could like, you could have a car in this. Yeah. I mean, all of a sudden you'd be driving, and it was so much fun because we would play LAN party games with this. And then you would, you know, I want to say that, Kit from Knight Rider was one of the ones you could unlock, if I'm remembering correctly.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's cool.
And yeah. Oh man. So cool, to be able to do that and make your friends go, oh, what?
Yeah.
What's going on?
And you can do that with, like you said, with most modern, like if you're playing Fallout like or Skyrim or any of those games, they all have a console. You can hit tilde, bring it down. Sometimes you have to turn them on in the options, but you can type all kinds of crap in there. Make my inventory unlimited. Make it so I've got, instead of arrows, I'm shooting cheese wheels at people. Like there's stuff you can do. You can spawn characters. You can create a way to just kill somebody. Sometimes you break the game, but they still let you do it. Doom had this when I was playing Doom in the day. God mode. Who can forget God mode? It's the ultimate cheat.
Oh, God mode's the best.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you
use
that?
There it is. It wasn't Knight Rider, though. I don't think it was.
What was it?
Cool car with a rocket launcher, 300 attack points.
Oh.
So I guess I just. It was a black car. There's a site called AOEHeavenGames.com, and they have like all the cheat codes.
Wow. That's awesome.
Oh, man. You could shoot. Horses, or no, you can shoot cows with the trebuchets. Sure. What? Or the catapults?
Sure.
What?
Why not? I mean, look at the hacks and mods and stuff for Grand Theft Auto where you can be a chicken and go rip people out of their cars and drive off as a chicken. Like, we're basically talking about a very fundamental thing that's been in games forever. It was more commercialized when you could go to the store and they'd say, here's the Game Genie, a cartridge replacement module that made every game have a cheat, you know? Like, that was a weird thing.
And it made
me
feel better when I had the Game Genie, because I was like, oh, the developer's just having fun. The developer's having fun. They've given us a way to do this, and it's just, it feels right.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Anyway, go get your own Game Genies now and use that with your Genesis, and let me know how it goes, everybody. That's going to do it for the show. By the way, that fine voicemail that came in did so via the voicemail line, 801-471-0462. Is that number you can call. The shorter it is, the better. That was a perfect length from that listener. So if you want to do it, you can do it. That's 801-471-0462. What are you holding up there? What is that?
White.
Oh, you're doing more white balance.
It keeps going back to blue.
You got to do a setting on your camera where it doesn't adjust itself.
Do you have a setting for the camera?
I do. I do. Yeah, my C, what are these called?
I don't have my C920.
Oh, you're just using, in that case, I don't know if there's a way. There might be. Oh, yeah, if it's on the Mac, actually, you need to download something called webcam settings. It sounds super generic, but it's for Macs, and it's great. Lets you tweak everything about your webcam, no matter what cam you have. It's really good. Anyway, there's a little advice for you. And also, send us your emails, boopshow@gmail.com. That's boopshow@gmail.com. I think that's going to do it for us. Frogpants.com/BOOP is the address there that you want to use to find all our stuff, all our archives. You can find video versions of the show, all that stuff. I'm going to start running it as a repeat sometimes here on the Twitch channel as well, so watch for that. If you missed most of it, it might show up in rerun mode. What else? On Twitter, we are at Boop Show. Brian's at The Brian Dunaway. I'm at Scott Johnson. Brian, any final words before we go?
Boop.
Oh, that's it?
That's no, okay, wait. Let me think.
Give me a good one here. What do you got? Give me something good.
I don't got nothing. Yeah, I'm going to play some games this week.
Oh, good. How about you? I probably will as well. There'll probably be some video games in my future.
Hey, I know. I'll be on Twitch sometime this week.
Oh, good. Playing video games. That's good.
We should stream.
I don't know why we don't stream more. We should stream. Why don't we do that? We always say we're going to, we never do. We should do that.
Well, we got some indie games. Let's do it. Let's just go through our list. Let's do like we did before. Let's compare our library list.
Okay.
And then go, that's way too hard. And then we'll pick new games that we can play multiplayer.
All right, fair enough. Or Duck Game. We'll always go back to Duck Game.
Oh, yeah, Duck Game. That's always
Duck
fun.
Duck Game's good. All right, we're out of here. Thank you all for being here. We'll be here next week. Take it easy, and we'll see you then. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I don't like Steam.